Morning, we're going to be studying from Matthew chapter 3. If you have a copy of God's Word, you might want to turn there with me. We'll have a scripture reading and then we'll jump headlong into it. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, we'll read through verse 17. Matthew 3, beginning in verse 13, going through verse 17. Now, we have some hot summers, but we have some really nice winters, don't we? You can't ask for a better day. We don't have four seasons, but we do have some nice days at this time of the year. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 3, beginning in verse 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. The Bible reads, again, Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Each of the synoptics, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all record the baptism of Jesus. It's an extremely important event in the life of our Lord. I have a Bible with me that's quite old now, still in pretty good shape, but in the front of it, I find these words. It says, This Holy Bible is presented to Bill Burke by Carter Park Church of Christ, Minister L.G. Kill, on his baptism into Christ, September the 13th, 1981, Elders Frank Harris and W.W. Templeton. Now, I was baptized in proxy because I wasn't born till about 6 years after that. Okay, that's not true. 1981 was a long time ago, wasn't it? That's a long time ago. I was 14 years old. And probably any of us, if we think about it a little bit, we probably don't have to think very hard, especially if we're in tune with the will of God and we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we think about our own baptisms, a lot of wonderful memories probably come to mind. I remember that, I won't even bring that part up. That's probably not something I need to share this morning. But I went home wet when I didn't need to, and you can think about that however you want to do it. But nonetheless, you're thinking, what's he talking about? Just forget about that. Forget about it. If you've been baptized into Christ, you can probably remember what a wonderful day it was. I remember taking off the baptismal garments and getting dressed, and the preacher who baptized me, Brother Kill, said, Isn't it nice to know all your sins are forgiven? I thought, man, what? Even at 14 years old, I was like, wow, that's a wonderful thought to think that. Let's think about our baptism this morning in light of Jesus' baptism. Our baptism in light of Jesus' baptism. Oftentimes when you talk to folks about the necessity of baptism, most will say something like this, well, baptism isn't essential to salvation, but it's something we ought to do because Jesus was baptized. Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? Well, it is the case. I can understand how somebody could draw that conclusion. Jesus is our Savior. He's our example. We're to have His mind, Philippians 2:5. We're to walk in His steps, 1 Peter 2:21. We're to walk as He walked, 1 John 2:6. Become as He is. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it would make sense. I mean, understand the sentiment. If Jesus was baptized, and we can find somewhere in Scripture where there's something about any of us being baptized, it would be a good reason to say, well, I ought to because he did. I mean, it makes sense, right? At the same time, to say that we merely ought to be baptized because Jesus was indicates that we don't really understand New Testament baptism. Because although there are a number of similarities in Jesus' baptism to our own, there are some great differences and some important differences that we really need to point out in order to understand where we fit into the picture regarding baptism as it relates to Jesus' baptism. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look primarily at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at the verses that we just considered, and we're going to notice both similarities and differences. Similarities and differences. Again, looking at Matthew chapter 3 and thinking about what is recorded there for us, the first thing we learn from verse 13 is that Jesus came from Galilee to John to the Jordan to be baptized. And that's verse 13. So let's think about the mode or the action. Jesus came to John to be baptized by him. Now, this morning we started in class in the book of Mark, chapter 1. We started talking a little bit about how Mark starts his gospel. And he starts with John. And he starts with the prophecies that look forward to the coming of John. And he talks about the preaching ministry of John, how he was the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. At the same time, when we look at Mark's gospel account, he talks about how John was baptizing folks in the Jordan River, and then we enter into the discussion about Jesus' baptism. John was baptizing folks into the Jordan. Let's think about mode for a minute. Jesus came to be baptized. What does that mean? When Jesus was baptized by John, as we read a moment ago, and as we see sometimes depicted in some of the movies like The Life of Jesus and so forth, where Jesus and John are standing in the river, maybe the water's about chest high, and John reaches down with his hands and baptizes him by pouring water over his head. In other words, was Jesus poured on by John in the Jordan? Perhaps, if it's not poured on, beginning very early on in church history, because of emergency situations where water may have been hard to find, it turned out that some within the confines of Christianity decided that the best thing to do, especially regarding people who are sick, who couldn't get to a body of water like the Jordan where Jesus went, that it would be best just to take a small amount of water and not necessarily pour it over them, but sprinkle it over the head. We ask the question, when Jesus was baptized by John, was water poured on his head? Was water sprinkled on his head? Or was it something else? The word that we find in our New Testaments, baptism in the noun form, or to be baptized in the verb form, comes from baptizo. Now, when you hear that Greek word, it sounds like baptism, doesn't it? And it's interesting when we think about particularly this Bible here. It's a King James Version Bible. Of course, it made its debut in 1611, authorized by King James himself. The best scholars in the world got together in order to try to provide an English translation. And it's interesting, when they were translating the New Testament, they came across the word to baptize, baptizo. Well, the Church of England was a breakoff from Roman Catholicism. And so, based on the previous practice of Catholicism, they practiced sprinkling for baptism. Well, in the Greek language, the word for sprinkle or for pour are two different words. But the word that was there was baptizo. And so they realized immediately that they were in trouble, because the word baptizo means to dip. It means to plunge. It means to overwhelm. It means to immerse. And so they scratched their heads a bit and thought, okay, what are we going to do with this word? Which, if this English language Bible is set forth to the populace, they're going to read it, and they're going to realize that we're not immersing, but rather we're sprinkling. So what they did was they transliterated the word. They took a Greek word and they made a new English word. From baptizo, we got the word baptism, or to baptize. Which leaves the meaning of baptism somewhat vague and obscure. Because if you have a New English word to describe what Jesus did and what those on Pentecost did and what the Samaritans did and every other person that we read about in Scripture did, if you provide a word that's somewhat obscure, it can mean whatever you want it to mean. But any good lexicon, any good Greek dictionary will show you and dictate to you that indeed the word translated baptism means to immerse. So when Jesus went to John and was baptized in the Jordan River, water wasn't poured over his head, nothing was sprinkled on top of him, but rather he was immersed in water and raised up. Now let's think about similarity. Let's think about mode for a moment. When we were baptized, if we were baptized in the similar vein of Jesus, and if we were baptized as the rest of the New Testament teaches, it means that we would have been baptized or immersed in water. Think back to your baptism. Baptism in the New Testament is likened to a burial. Buried with Him in baptism, in which also you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. We obey the gospel. In order to become a Christian, what does that mean? We die to sin. We're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. When you bury a body, you overwhelm it. You cover it up. You place it in the ground and it's covered over with water. Or not with water, that'd be a strange burial. With dirt. When we think about mode and we think about what Jesus did and what we ought to do, and many of us have regarding the New Testament, we ought to be immersed as Jesus was immersed. Because that's the mode of baptism. And that's what Jesus underwent. That's the first thing. Second thing, still talking primarily about similarities. Looking at verse 13, where did Jesus meet John? The Jordan. We can look at some of the other accounts in the synoptics which describe the same thing. Where was John baptizing? He was baptizing in the Jordan. What's the Jordan? It's not Michael. It was a river. It was the largest river in Israel, connecting the Sea of Galilee with the Dead Sea. Lake Hula just to the north, right above. Let's think about element for a moment. A number of years ago, I heard of a man who was, for his religious experience, was baptized into his favorite cola. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Pepsi or Coke. I don't know if they had a taste-testing challenge before he was baptized. We asked the question, what was the element that was used regarding Jesus' baptism? He was baptized in water. Where? In the Jordan. And somebody might say, well, it's odd that water would be such an important part of the equation. And I can't explain to you necessarily why God has chosen to use H2O as He has in regard to His plan. But we see it throughout Scripture, don't we? What cleansed the world and allowed Noah and his family to have a new start? The waters of the flood. 8 souls were saved through water. Some people might say, well, the ark saved Noah. The ark protected Noah, but it was the flood itself that cleansed the world and brought a new start. What about the Red Sea and the Israelites? They passed through the Red Sea. They were baptized into Moses and into the cloud. Wall of water on the left, wall of water on the right, cloud over the top of them. And it was through that water they passed from bondage to freedom. What did God use? He used water. We might think of Naaman the leper who went to Elisha the prophet. And what was he told to do? What stood between him and healing? 7 dips in the Jordan. That's what God used for His healing. Was there something magical about the Jordan River? Not a thing in the world. But that's just simply what God told him to do. Why did He tell him to do that? I don't know. That's what He told him to do. What about the man born blind? He was told to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing. What stood between him and sight? Again, God, the Lord Himself, used water And here, when we think of Jesus being baptized, he was baptized into the Jordan. So what was the element? Water. If you've been baptized into Christ, as the Bible dictates that you should, then you too were baptized in water. Look at Acts chapter 8 for a moment. Here's what we find as we look at Scripture. Acts 2, the Gospels preached for the first time. Those on Pentecost, the Pentecostians, these Jews whose hearts were pricked, said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized," right? No mention of the element there. In other words, it doesn't say anything about water. Now, earlier in Jesus' ministry, Jesus had said to Nicodemus, if you're going to be born again, you must be born of water and the Spirit. But here in Acts 2, there's nothing said. We could go to Acts 8 and verse 12, and we can learn that because of Philip's preaching, the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. But it doesn't say anything about the element. What happens when we get to Acts chapter 8? When Philip is sent to preach to the nobleman or the eunuch who was reading from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, and he explains to him that the prophet was speaking of Christ, and the eunuch came to faith, and the text says in verse 36, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Baptism in water means nothing unless it's predicated by faith, right? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then the text says, verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away rejoicing." And so notice they went down into the water. Now, if he were going to sprinkle or pour, he could have just simply been over and got a little. But they went down into the water, and he was baptized, and they came up out of the water. What's the element? We're going to look at Acts 8 as our divine commentary to help us to understand what Acts 2 had in mind, or Acts 8 has in mind, or any other baptism passage in the book of Acts of the New Testament. What's our element? Water. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," baptizing them. Who would be doing the baptizing? His disciples. What would be the element regarding that baptism that would last until the end of the world? Water. We're not denying that the Spirit plays a role in it. But when we look at the element, it's not baptism in the Spirit in the sense that the apostles were baptized or Cornelius in his house was baptized, but rather it's a baptism into water, in water, for the remission of sins. The element is water. The Spirit gives life. There's no doubt that when you're born again, the Spirit enlivens you, quickens you, but the element is water. So what do we have? Mode? Immerse. Element, water. What about purpose? What's the reason for baptism? Back to Matthew chapter 3. What about Jesus? Let's think about John's baptism for a moment. In Mark's account, the text says that John was preaching a baptism of repentance unto or for the remission of sins. John's baptism was preparatory, where all from Judea and Jerusalem were coming out to him, being baptized, confessing their sins, being raised up to a new start, looking forward to the kingdom which was at hand. It was preparatory. Regarding our part in it, we might say we're baptized in order to enter the kingdom that John was preparing his candidates for, as it had to do with what was close at hand. But we'll come back to that in a minute. But again, what was involved in John's baptism? Repentance. Remission of sins. Jesus was baptized by John. Where do these aspects of John's baptism begin to go in another direction from why Jesus was baptized? "In him was no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." 1 Peter 2:22. "He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus didn't have any sins to remit, and he didn't have anything for which he needed to repent. We might just stop there for a minute and think about it. That's impressive, isn't it? When I came up from the waters of baptism, even at 14, I'd done failed the course, man. I was already in trouble. And Jesus had nothing for which to repent and no sins which to remit. So let's think a little bit about what was the purpose of Jesus' baptism. What does he say in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 3? When John says, I have need for you to baptize me, Jesus says, permit it for now. And then he says, the purpose was to fulfill all righteousness. You know, in Psalm 119, 172, the Bible says, the psalmist says, all of your commandments are righteous. Jesus came to fulfill the law and do the Father's will, and through his baptism, he evidenced his understanding of his role, his willingness to submit, and to be completely obedient to all that his Father had in mind. Had nothing to do whatsoever with his need for his sins to be forgiven. So if we say, I need to be baptized because Jesus was, well, we might want to follow in his steps, but the reason for Jesus' baptism is different from our own. Now, we might strive to be obedient in the same sense, but it's too late for us to fulfill all righteousness. We've already blown that. So when we think about our baptism over against Jesus's, there are some similarities, but here there's a great difference. Because, going back to Acts 2, the first time the terms of pardon were given regarding the gospel, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What did Peter say? Repent, all of us need to do that, and be baptized for or unto the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. You see, baptism for us, at least part of it, is so that we can identify with Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. We can die to sin, have our sins forgiven, and be given a new start. Now here's something about similarities as it pertains to our baptism and Jesus' baptism. If you look at back to Matthew chapter 3, notice something that stands out here. After Jesus was baptized, notice the events and what transpires. It says, verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. That's literally the heavens were torn, like the veil was torn at his death. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And so, as we look at Jesus' baptism, there's a sense in which there's the reception of the Spirit at his baptism, which will empower him for what's going to happen next. He's going to be driven into the wilderness by that same Spirit. He's going to do battle with the devil. He'll come forth victoriously. But there is a reception of the Spirit which is a means of demonstrating that this ministry now, this ministry of the Messiah, has begun. In other words, a new era has started. Now that's interesting because the Bible said, again going back to Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises to you and to your children, all them that are far off. And so we're enlivened by His Spirit through the gospel. It provides us new life, a new beginning, a new start. In that sense, both Jesus' baptism and our own speaks to newness, a new beginning, an inauguration. Something has begun. And that was true regarding Jesus' baptism. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. He had no sins that needed forgiveness. But we, on the other hand, we're baptized so that we can indeed die to sin and be buried with Jesus and raised to walk in newness of life. So what's the mode? It's immersion. Jesus was baptized by John. What's the element? Jesus was baptized in water, in the Jordan. What about us? If you look at Acts chapter 8, it's water. What was the purpose of Jesus' baptism? For him to fulfill all righteousness and for his ministry to be inaugurated. What's our purpose? What's the purpose regarding us? That our sins may be forgiven and we may be raised to walk in newness of life. That's the result for us. Jesus' ministry beginning was his result. And he also, his baptism and what John saw the Spirit descending, hearing the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son," was proof positive that Jesus was the Messiah. So Jesus' baptism was to fulfill all righteousness, certainly, but also to indicate that what John believed was true. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John heard the voice. The result for us, though, again, if you're baptized into Jesus, your sins are forgiven, you're raised to walk in newness of life. There's similarities, but there are differences. And so we ask this morning, have you been baptized into Christ in the way that the Bible declares? For the purpose that the Bible declares? In the way that the Bible declares? Does it help? Does it certainly cause you to follow Jesus by doing so? Yes. But that's not really the reason. That's not what we're going to camp out on. It's our need for our sins to be forgiven through Christ that we might come to God. If we can help you with that, won't you come as we stand and sing?